Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement, and this is episode 106, Babies, Bubba, and Boo! Have you subscribed to my YouTube page yet? You really should. Number one, you can see podcast previews for all the episodes and find your favorites. And starting with episode 99, you can watch the video version of this podcast. And by the way, this podcast is excellent road trip listening. Download my book and you get a chance if you're doing some traveling by air, something to read on the plane or train or in the car if you don't get car sick. It's called Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills on Amazon for only $4.99. Great read, funny read, true read, common sense read. Email me, lou@lousantini.com if you want to say hi. All right. So I apologize in advance if you notice there's an edit in this video because I've been sneezing all day thanks to the wildfires in California. Because California just doesn't have enough shit going on. Which leads me to topic number one. And here we have another nominee for Amateur of the Year from many different news sources, but this one from CNN.com. Here's your headline. A pyrotechnic device at a gender reveal party sparked one of the California wildfires, burning over 8,600 acres. Keeping in mind that that news article is a few days old, and of course, hundreds of thousands of acres have burned all over the West Coast for that matter. And I'm not saying that it's due to this one gender reveal party fire. In fact, there have now been two that have been accounted for. But let's get to the article. A smoke-generating pyrotechnic device used at the party sparked the El Dorado fire in San Bernardino County, CAL FIRE said in a press release. Surveillance video from the party showed a couple with several children. Hey, let's start a fire. Bring the kids. Walking into the grass at the edge of the El Dorado Ranch Park in Yucaipa. Yeah, it's a public park, a state park, whatever. Perfect place. It's public. That means I own it, right? My taxes paid for this, so I can set it on fire. I'm special. I'm an amateur. Another person is seen in the video appearing to light the device soon after. The family can be seen on video scrambling and grabbing water bottles as the flames grow. I think the bigger issue here is, why didn't they recycle those water bottles? Don't they know, like, the fish die? Okay, so the article goes on to say, it really is a tragedy, it's sad. They were hoping to remember the day in a different way, said CAL FIRE investigator Captain Bennett Malloy, adding that over 80% of fires are caused by humans and that people need to be more aware of their surroundings. You need to be extra cautious because you could be liable. Could be? How about should be? 80% of the fire. Like, look, I've lived in California almost 24 years. I know a lot of fires start because it is bone dry. And yes, and then a lot of wood is dead, and those things do indeed catch on fire. But you got people flicking cigarettes, and these amateurs lighting fires because the world needs to know if their baby has a penis or a vagina. Anyway, back to the article. The article says you need to be extra cautious because you could be liable. Or, now, hear me out, you could not be an amateur attention whore. I'm just saying. You could always go that route, parents. You know what's more disturbing? The fact that these amateurs are actually procreating. But amateurs are attracted to other amateurs. It's all in the book. This firefighter was being exceptionally kind. How about this? This is what the firefighter should have said, but I understand why he or she couldn't have said it. And I quote, I wrote this as a press release. Look, you fucking amateurs, and yes, you have to swear. You have to. Having a baby, while special, may be new and exciting to you, but it happens every second of every day around the world. You and your baby are not special. I'm not saying you're bad people. I don't wish anything bad on you or your baby, but you're not special. You're not. You're not special. Have your baby without the fanfare and worry less about attention, more about raising a good, responsible adult. Have your party that doesn't involve destruction and making a YouTube or TikTok video. Just send emails and texts to family and friends. Make your calls, you know, maybe a personal call. I don't want to find out from one of my friends that you're having a baby. Call me or tell me in person. But you got to get that attention grab on social media. But finding new attention-getting ways to announce the birth of a baby should not be the focus. The actual baby should. You know, sometimes I think amateurs want babies just so they can do this kind of nonsense and get that attention grab. Monkey see, monkey do. And with every amateur pulling this shit, another amateur has to outdo them. Until lives are lost, property and nature is destroyed, resources both natural and human are needlessly expended. What, I'm wrong? No, I'm not. Now, if I were the judge in this case, I would charge them with arson. It's not intentional, but I would charge them with arson. I know they'd plea it down, but I'm going with arson. And I would order those parents to do three things. One, go on camera and issue a formal apology to the entire state and firefighters. What if a firefighter had died or even gotten a sprained ankle during all this? Number two, I would ban them from social media for life. So, I don't know, they can maybe concentrate on raising their child. And third, they have to name their child Bernie. Regardless of its sex, you want to burn things? Your kid's name is now Bernie. Let it be a lifelong reminder that you're a fucking rookie. The kid can change his or her name as soon as he or she is legally old enough to do it, and he or she emancipates themselves from these idiots. What did these morons think would happen when you go into the driest state in the country year after year? What, because it's an open field? I'm recording this on September 15th, 16th. It has literally rained maybe five times the entire year for a total of maybe 12 hours. Way to think of your kid's future with fines, court costs, and lawsuits. If I were to lose my house or have any kind of property damage due to those fires, oh, you can bet your sweet ass they would be paying this off until their grandparents or their grandkids were born. These amateurs are clearly too stupid to have children. Topic number two. And now a nominee for Amateur of the Year and Amateur Attention Whore of the Year. Here's your headline, Bubba Wallace to leave Richard Petty Racing Motorsports at season's end, according to Yahoo Sports and at least a dozen other news outlets. Have I mentioned before that I never get tired of being right? Now, I called this guy a fraud and attention whore just like Jussie Smollett was, and also added that he should be fired immediately, considering he did the damage he did to the ratings in NASCAR, the damage to the reputation of the legendary driver and team owner Richard Petty. Now the news reports that Wallace is leaving, and while I'm not privy to the actual story, we may never know whether he indeed is leaving by his own choice or Petty's team do what many managers and team owners and coaches do with their athletes, and that is invite them to leave or invite them to step down, thus saving Wallace the embarrassment of being fired, which would clearly be taking the high road on behalf of Richard Petty Racing, although I think he should have been made an example of and fired publicly, live, on camera. You're fucking fired, you fucking amateur. We already have bad ratings as it is. NASCAR used to be the number one watched sport in the world, and now the ratings are a pittance of what they were. Before COVID and before this was the nail in the coffin. All I ever hear from players in various team sports is this quote, no one man is bigger than the game. Man, are we not seeing that this year? Colin Kaepernick, LeBron, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. Firing Bubba Wallace's attention-seeking ass would have kept true NASCAR fans loyal, but sadly, woke amateurs would have stampeded, rioted, looted, etc. in an effort to not have to go to work again that day. Oh wait, who am I kidding? Rioters and looters don't have jobs. What, they do? Okay, doing a part-time shift on the weekend at Starbucks doesn't count. Wallace, the article says, Wallace, who has driven Petty's iconic number 43 the last three seasons, told the team Thursday he would not sign a contract extension. Yeah, I'm sure they're all broken up about that. He says, this was not an easy decision as I have nothing but the utmost respect for Richard Petty and his family. And that's a fucking lie. You don't. And you have no respect for NASCAR and the organization that put food on your table and clothing on your back and made you a millionaire. And you certainly don't have respect for the fans, both of whom, the fans and Richard Petty Racing, pay your salary. And let's not forget the sponsors you embarrassed. You're a fucking disgrace. Wallace, who is 26, has a career best 5 top 10 finishes this season and is ranked a career best 23rd in the Cup Series standings. You see what I'm saying here? Here's some fact for you. I am literally tied with Bubba Wallace for most number one wins at a NASCAR race with 0. Put me in a NASCAR. Never driven one in my whole life. Driven a stock car, driven some alcohol-burning go-karts, driven my own car 125 miles an hour. Put me in a NASCAR. I'll not win for you, but you know what I also won't do? Embarrass you, Richard Petty Racing. I won't embarrass you, NASCAR. Wallace did not make the playoffs in any of his 3 Cup seasons and is winless at NASCAR's top level. Wallace in 2013 became the second black driver to win a National Series NASCAR race when he won the Truck Series event at Martinsville Speedway. He's the only full-time black driver at NASCAR's national level. And this is where amateurs, see, there should be more. Hey, if you're good enough, you're getting in. Do you know how hard it is to be a professional racer driving any NASCAR, Indy, Formula One, drag racing of any caliber? Pick one, stock car, rally cars, trucks, motorcycles, speed bikes, dirt bikes. To be at the professional level, you need to be the best of the best consistently. So before you start complaining about how there's not enough diversity in NASCAR, step one, learn to drive a fucking NASCAR. All right. Let me just say this too. Bubba Wallace, instead of being an inspiration for young black drivers or any young person, for that matter, that could have watched his story of how hard work and the best man for the job gets the job. Instead, he went this route. Throw a fit until you get attention, even if it's bad attention, especially when you're not winning. Wallace was instrumental in pushing NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag at its races earlier this year. And as I said in a previous podcast, yeah, that's a good thing. He started off on the right foot with the right idea, with good intentions as a good example. He parlayed that into several sponsorship deals that have been negotiated in a way that Wallace could take them with him if he left Richard Petty Racing. The article says it's not clear where Wallace is headed because several major teams with seats available told the Associated Press they were not in play for the driver. Gee, I wonder why. Who wants this complete pain in the fucking ass who doesn't win? Oh, you're a pain in the ass and you don't win? Right this way, sir. By the way, that's pretty much the whole article. I didn't leave anything out of the Yahoo Sports article. Notice how Yahoo Sports made 0 reference to the fact that he lied and exaggerated and jumped the gun about a noose being found in his garage, which was investigated by a team of FBI agents who found no evidence of racism, and the noose wasn't even discovered by Wallace and was determined to have been there for months as simply a garage pull, and then Wallace later never even apologized for the mistake. Just like his partner in crime, Jussie Smollett, he has no accountability, no apology, no restitution, just temper tantrums and the need for attention. And by the way, you notice the thing in common with Bubba Wallace and Jussie Smollett? Take a second. No one had heard of either one of them, really. You might have known of them, but they weren't in the public spotlight, like the stars of the show that Jussie Smollett was on, like the winning racers, drivers, and race teams in NASCAR. Sure, Smollett was a series regular on a TV show. That's a high-paying job. I'd love to have that job. Yes, he was a regular on a show with poor ratings. Wallace, a professional driver for NASCAR, yes, but a driver with poor performance and no winning history. Great lesson, Bubba Wallace. Now go off, away with you. We don't need you. Start your little Bubba Wallace racing school because you ain't gonna win shit. And shame on any driver or race team or sponsors that pick him up. You're making things worse and you are complicit. While, of course, not all professional athletes act like amateurs, Charles Barkley was right. Sports figures are not role models. Topic number 3. I don't know about where you live. Sorry, I'm drinking more iced tea than usual because of the smoke in the air. I don't know about where you live, but Los Angeles, in an effort to suck every last bit of enjoyable life for its residents, was banning trick-or-treating for kids this Halloween under the guise of being safe due to the pandemic hoax, but have since backtracked and said they simply don't recommend it. Which, let's face it, for amateurs anyway, they might as well be carved into the foreheads of the weak-willed and easily manipulated. So let's talk about that for a second. They don't recommend going trick-or-treating. So people can go, let's pretend there's no pandemic, and there really isn't. Let's pretend it's a regular Halloween. People go to the store, they touch the candy in the wrappers. The candy's inside, of course, you're not just grabbing a Twix bare ass right there, okay? The candy's in a wrapper, which means the candy is inside untouched by human hands. But little kids can't earn that rite of passage and have some fun and enjoy trick-or-treating and the fun that it involves by going door-to-door and even possibly standing 6 feet away from the candy dish. What little kid rolls right up onto the guy giving out the candy and gets in their grill? Zero. And probably wearing a mask, the kid's probably wearing a mask as part of the costume anyway, only to open the candy, dispose of the wrapper, wash their hands if they have good parents, and then eat the candy. I fail to see the problem. And like any good parent would insist pre-pandemic hoax anyway, tell their kids to wash their hands before eating the candy, which is, you know, this whole thing is beyond stupid. You know it is, pros. Amateurs don't. What? It's better safe than sorry. Well, you're an amateur. That's why you're always going to be an amateur, because you have no common sense. I wish people would just wake the fuck up and do whatever the fuck they want, considering the mandates are complete and utter bullshit. It's been 6 months. Wake up. But we have to protect the people with compromised immune systems. Yes, they should be quarantined. But yes, they should be taking extra measures, wearing their masks, staying 6 feet away, washing their hands a little more diligently. But shutting down the world for a microscopic percent, I've been through this, I'm not talking about this again. I don't know about you, but here's my opinion. And I think most pros would agree. Common sense overrides science. Always. That's the benefit of common sense. Because of common sense, you probably don't need science. Science is for the things we can't solve with common sense or handle with common sense. Don't mistake common sense for home remedies. Some home remedies actually work, some don't. Some medicine works, some doesn't. But common sense is king. If science said you should really hit yourself with a hammer once a day for 30 seconds, I think some amateurs would actually do it because what science said to do it, they would do it. Common sense tells you, hey, don't hit yourself on the head with a hammer. Yes, I know it's a stretch, and Lou, that would never happen, but you're wearing a mask everywhere thinking that air doesn't get up underneath. Somehow air only goes in a perfectly straight line, and it just bounces off your mask. Rookies. Time now for some quickies. All right, here we go. This is totally random. Why do actresses Radha Mitchell and Carrie Ann Moss always look like they have a bad head cold? Right? They got those basset hound eyes. Their mouth is always kind of, you know how you, when you have a head cold, you breathe, you kind of, yeah, it's like gravity is like pulling their face down. They always look sweaty or exhausted. I'm sure they're lovely, fine women. I'm sure they're nice people. I don't get it. I remember my friends are like, dude, they're hot. But no. If you like phlegm, maybe. I was reminded how much I hate technology watching Mission Impossible 3 the other day. If you've never seen that movie, Tom Cruise finds something called a micro dot on his dead partner's person, and there are video files on this micro dot. And a micro dot is literally the size of a period at the end of a sentence. If there is one piece of technology, it's bad enough I won't even get AI in my house or the Ring doorbell for him. See last episode for my reasons. I would never get a micro dot. I can't even get my fucking phone to do three successful functions in a row, and I'm supposed to get a dot to work? Not to mention, I know the second I got the dot from Best Buy, I'm like, oh shit, I dropped it, right? I'm not doing that. And then not to mention, then I'd be like, I should have bought the dot insurance. This is something I just came up with thinking about NASCAR and as a fan of drag racing and Formula One and just about anything competitive, frankly. Winning in a sport, but especially in life, is great. But going down swinging when you fall short, I believe, is more important. Winning is fun. Winning is great. But going down swinging when you fall short is more important. That's what helps you win. And that's what keeps you alive and feeling alive. Time now for three pro things, three things that are done right for once. Number one. All right, I feel like I have something car related every episode, but I watched the most badass documentary on Netflix called Born Racer. This documentary literally got me more into IndyCar racing. I already kind of liked it because it's very similar to Formula One, but now I'm all in, okay? I'm just going to read you the synopsis. In this all-access pass, IndyCar champion Scott Dixon, he's from Australia, and his team navigate the risks on the road in the quest to win it all. Do you want to talk about some fantastic examples of human beings, beautiful life lessons, and spectacular photography in slow motion and in real time, and onboard video and photography that really show you the discipline and the flat-out superhero bravery that it takes to become an IndyCar driver? And for those of you who just sit there and drive in a circle, have at it, Haas. There's a reason why there are only 20 men on the planet who are qualified to drive Formula One, and a very similar number for Indy. Anyway, again, check it. It's a great documentary. It made me a fan, and a fan of Scott Dixon, frankly. And you'll see just some proving once again that car folk are the best folk. Number two, The Great Heist. It's a Spanish language limited series on Netflix. Now, if you're okay with subtitles, you're going to dig this one. I love any movie that's a heist movie. This is a limited series, and it's based on a true story, so I am in. I will read subtitles for that. Here's the synopsis. On an October Sunday in 1994, a team of thieves posed as HVAC repairmen and armed with welding machines and oxygen tanks walked into a branch of Colombia's central bank in the northern city of Valledupar at 6 in the morning. Over a day later, and without a single shot fired, they walked back out with the equivalent of almost $33 million. Now, if this were shot in America, it would take 5 seasons. This Colombian production gets it done in 6 episodes. Really tight. Check it out. The Great Heist on Netflix. Number three. And once again, common sense, my religion, from a comedian. Here's comedian and host Bill Maher saying what pros have known all along when it comes to this pandemic hoax. Things that I have said, just like he said them, or similar to it. Now, I will shorten his comments here on the video podcast, but you can find his complete comments on YouTube. But I'm going to play his comments in its entirety on the audio version. Enjoy. And by the way, I dare you amateurs to argue with any of his comments. And before I play it, remember this. Common sense overrides science. We need science for those times that we don't have common sense or an answer or don't know something. Science does not replace common sense. Here's what Bill Maher said.
I worry that the past 2 months of quarantine have given people the idea that the way for humans to win our million-year war with microbes is to avoid them completely. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. The key to beating COVID isn't dining through glass or never going to a concert or a ball game again. It's your immune system. You hear people say COVID-19 is a new virus, so the immune system doesn't know how to handle it. Bullshit. Of course it does. That's why the vast majority of people who've had it either recovered or didn't even know they had it. What do you think did that? The human immune system. Now, there are people with immune systems that can't do the job, and we should make it a priority to protect those people. But compulsively washing, being scared of your own hands, that can't become the new normal. In his later years, when he was peeing into jars and wearing Kleenex boxes for shoes, we pitied Howard Hughes because it was pitiful. In the 70s, they made a TV movie with John Travolta about a sick kid called The Boy in the Plastic Bubble. And let me tell you, if they start selling these things on Amazon, we're in trouble. I see there's a hot new item for sale online, disinfecting shoe mats, because COVID can get on your feet. Yes, it can get everywhere. Microbes are ubiquitous. You can keep discovering new places to scare people into buying protection for, but we're solving the problem from the wrong end. This is a health problem. We can't sanitize the universe. Governors should declare keeping our bodies in good health an essential job, because that's the only way we are going to win this. We've all read the articles. Your sink has 500,000 bacteria per square inch. Your toothbrush has feces on it. E. coli has been found in makeup, carpets, bedding, the remote, cutting boards. The average pillow has 350,000 bacteria colonies. They're filled with more shit than the guy selling them. Your phone has 10 times the bacteria of your toilet, which your dog drinks out of and then licks you. I could see right over there, right now, one of my dogs lying on the driveway like a dead fucking fly. The driveway where cars with God knows what on their tires pull in, and then that idiot rolls in it. And the other one, I don't know where he is, which means he's into something worse. Sometimes I see a dead mouse in the driveway. I don't have a cat. Something here killed it. I'm not pointing fingers, but there's only the three of us. My point is, God knows what is all over your pets and in their mouth, and then you invite them on the bed and they try to French kiss you and sometimes succeed. And some people don't even fight it. But what's the point of a pet if you're not going to pet it? It's in the name. And what's the point of life if you can't live it? Have you ever had sex in a hotel? Did you wash your hands first? Well, the last couple didn't either. And yet you're still alive. Because your immune system said, we got this. So this weekend, do something nice for your immune system. Go outside that mysterious land beyond your curtains where the Grubhub drivers live. And get some fresh air and vitamin D. And break a sweat doing something besides eating hot chicken. Because at the end of the day, you can't keep all the pathogens out.
I mean, I've said many of those sentiments word for word and similar to that since this started back in March. Now, what I can add to that, other than amateurs will respond with any of the following. You ready? Here's what the amateurs are. Lou, better safe than sorry. Ah, the catch-all phrase that somehow they think makes all of their hypochondria and OCD and stupidity okay. Number two. Yeah, but Lou, the science. Something amateurs pull out whenever they either have no reply to logic and common sense, or they would just simply choose to ignore it because they think science overrides common sense. And it's not that way. It's the other way around. And when it supports their fear lobe, and that way they can go back to point number one, better safe than sorry. And number three, oh, I didn't know Bill Maher was a doctor. Doesn't have to be. No one needs to be a doctor when you have common sense on your side. So now, just go back to sucking your thumbs, amateurs. Please download my book from Amazon, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. Subscribe to my YouTube page and hear this show on 14 podcast platforms. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a big major production.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.